Wham! Bam! Body slam! You're listening to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, right here on JitteryMonkey.com. Now here's your host, Kevin Huntsberger.
Hey everyone, hope you had a great Christmas. We are looking forward to 2015. This is episode 4 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast here on JitteryMonkey.com. Thanks again to Greg Mahochko, who does all the work as far as getting this out there to iTunes and to the website. And we appreciate you for downloading and sharing, commenting, and listening to the podcast, and also reading the blog at my123cents.com. And episode 4, since it is the end of the year, for the last several years, my blogging partner and I, Chad, have done a Cinti Awards, where we kind of look at the best and the worst of the year in professional wrestling. For me, it's mostly in the world of sports entertainment, because as I'll get into in just a few minutes, I did not really explore outside of WWE this year, and it's going to reflect in my Cinti Award picks. But I'm going to go ahead now and bring in Chad Smart, who is my blogging buddy. We've been friends now for almost 11 years, or we've known each other for 11 years. I don't know if we've been friends the whole time, but Chad, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, and yeah, I'm still trying to figure out when we became friends.
Exactly. So, Chad, let the fans know, or let the listeners know. I don't know if they're fans yet. Let the listeners know a little bit about yourself and your history with wrestling.
I've been a wrestling fan now for probably 31 years. I remember watching the first WrestleMania live on closed circuit television. My family had one of the big satellite dishes that were popular back in the 80s. And, it started off really with the Jim Crockett promotion, watching it on TBS, and then as WWF made their way national, started with them, and then just from there, AWA, WCCW, Bill Watts era, and then, through the 90s, you get involved with WCW and ECW, and then once those two promotions closed in 2001, you just started picking up all the independent companies that were springing up at the time, with Ring of Honor, TNA, which ultimately led to Chikara, which I think has been my saving grace as a wrestling fan, because if it wasn't for Chikara, I don't know if I would still be as big of a fan as I am, because anybody that reads our blog knows how critical I can be of the current product, but I am always, even when Chikara does something that I don't necessarily like, I can still find the positives in it. They get the free pass for me just because they are, my opinion, the greatest wrestling company in the country going today.
And it's interesting that you bring that up, because when Chad first introduced me to Chikara, it was probably, 06 or 07.
06, somewhere in there.
What's that?
I said 05 or 06, probably somewhere around there.
I didn't take it serious, and I watched a little bit of it, but I could not get into it. And then in 2012, a group of us went to what was my first Chikara show, and it was it really changed my outlook toward not just Chikara, but independent wrestling in general. And unfortunately, I had been involved with a couple of local independent promotions in 2011, 2012, and 2013. And then this year, 2014 was kind of the year that I fell off of the whole independent wrestling kick, and that includes Chikara, which just rebooted, and so that's shame on me. And I am, in 2015, I am vowing to get more into Chikara, or to Lucha Underground, GWF, Ring of Honor, some of these other promotions outside of WWE, because there is a lot of great talent out there, and I just wish that here locally, where I'm at now, there's just not a big local push anymore for professional wrestling, and I'm hoping that will change in the new year as well. So without any further ado, Chad, let's get into the Cinti Awards, and this is, of course, just our opinions of what we think is the best and worst in the world of professional wrestling. And Chad, I'll let you go ahead and start, since we are talking about Chikara, and talk about your pick for Wrestler of the Year.
My pick for Wrestler of the Year is the Chikara Grand Champion, Icarus. For those not familiar with Chikara, Icarus went from probably the last 7-8 years, if not more, being probably the most hated person on the Chikara roster. It's, I guess, for those not familiar with Chikara, it is a group that understands that wrestling fans know, and this, I mean, we're around the holidays, this is going to be like saying Santa Claus isn't real, but wrestling may be predetermined in the outcomes of the matches. Just throwing that out there. But Chikara knows that the fans realize this. They kind of have a wink-wink nod to their promotion. I consider it more performance art than sports entertainment. But anyway, Ikaris has always been like the one guy that the fans just love to hate. Like, everybody else on the roster will get at least some appreciation for their talent. Ikaris will constantly get booed out of the building. And part of it is kind of due to having one of probably the worst tattoos in wrestling and going up against Randy Orton's stupid arm sleeves. That's saying a lot. But he has this full back tattoo that the fans just constantly tell him to keep his shirt on, you know, cover up the tattoo, your tattoo sucks, whatever. But he went from being the most hated wrestler to when Chikara got shut down last year, around June, he was the one that fought to bring it back, and Chikara did these YouTube videos called Ashes, where he went around to each of the Chikara roster and tried to get them to bring back Chikara to help them fight the corporation that had shut them down. And then this year at their relaunch show, Ikaris ended up winning the grand championship from Eddie Kingston, who had been the grand champion since they introduced the title back in 2011, I believe it was. 11, 12. My timeline's a little off. But from there, Ikaris had successful defenses all throughout the year, and finally at the last show, the season finale, You Only Live Twice, Tomorrow Never Dies, he vanquished the main bad guy, the leader of the Flood, and he's been the saving grace for Chikara, so I think it's only fitting that, you know, he'd become the Wrestler of the Year.
Alrighty, that is Chad's pick. My pick, I'm going to probably contradict myself, because I have been critical of this wrestler, and I'm not a big fan of his anyway, but I think that it's hard to deny the year that Brock Lesnar has had. From defeating the Big Show at the Royal Rumble to ending the WrestleMania, or the Undertaker's WrestleMania undefeated streak, to literally decimating John Cena at SummerSlam in a 30-minute ass-kicking, and pardon my French there. Brock Lesnar, and I get it that he's part-time, and I get that he's not there all the time, and you know, he has definitely had a hell of a year. 2014, he dominated. You know, I don't think that people would have had the buzz about WrestleMania, the post-WrestleMania, had the Undertaker streak not ended. And, you know, Brock Lesnar's the guy that did it. He kind of put WWE, I don't want to say he put him back in the mainstream media, but, you know, there was a lot of buzz following that that match, you know, in local sports and in local news, just based on that fact alone. So, you know, again, I'm not a big fan of Brock Lesnar's. I'm not a fan of the fact that we don't see him that often, but back in the day when Hogan was champion, you know, we didn't see him every week on Superstars, and we certainly didn't see him defending the title every week. So I think that WWE has done a good job with creating a monster, but I almost feel like in some regards they've created too much of a monster, and who is going to be the one to kind of slay that dragon, hopefully come WrestleMania time. So we'll have to kind of wait and see on that one. Most hated, you know, and I don't like to be overly critical of wrestling. I'm trying not to be anymore, but for me personally, the Bella storyline, the Bella versus Bella, and I just hated it with a passion. Every time it came on TV, I watched, but more out of, you know, awkward curiosity of how bad can this get. And to me, that particular storyline was probably the worst I've seen in a long time. Chad?
This is going to be where I lose any fan that I had, probably. But my most hated for the year is Roman Reigns. I think he is the least interesting member of the Shield, and I understand why he is now kind of being poised to be the WWE golden boy. He's got the good look. He's related to The Rock, the Samoans. So he's got that pedigree that WWE can play off of. So I get it, but he is just, to me, he's very similar to where Rocky Maivia was when Rocky debuted in 96. He's got a good look, but he just hasn't got all the fundamentals yet to be the top guy. And I'm not saying that he, you know, give him 3-4 years of seasoning, let him kind of develop his character, that he won't be there. But right now, it's whenever I watch a Roman Reigns match, all I'm looking for is the apron drop kick, the Superman punch, and spear. And I don't think he knows how to use those in the context of a solid match. He's just like, boom, boom, boom. Those are, you know, his moves. Everybody wants to complain about John Cena and his 5 moves of doom. But at least he has 5 moves. Roman Reigns has 3. And I think if all the rumors and reports are true, I think WrestleMania could, instead of being Roman Reigns' coming out party, could be the start of his downfall for a couple of years. So I think the fans will, like much like Rocky Maivia, will turn on him when he's pushed too far too soon.
I don't necessarily disagree with you on that. I don't necessarily hate him. I am still a fan of his. And last year at this time, and actually on this very day, we recorded another podcast with From the Rafters Radio. I declared 2014 the year of Roman Reigns. But I agree. I don't think he's ready, and I wouldn't be disappointed if he's not in the main event at WrestleMania, although I think, as you said, all the signs are kind of pointing in that direction that he wins the Rumble and then goes on to Mania.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, I'm being harsh on Roman just because I think he is, and it's not due to him, you know, personally. I just think the WWE is trying to create a new star, and they're putting all their you know, eggs in one basket with this guy and not letting him develop naturally.
I think that's fair.
There it goes.
I think that's a fair assessment. And let's talk about, let's kind of keep that wave going. I'm kind of jumping out of order here, but as far as the most overrated, you also kind of throw Roman Reigns into that category. Now, is Roman Reigns becoming your new Randy Orton?
No, I wouldn't go that far. I don't want to bury Roman Reigns that much, because I think Reigns does have at least a little bit of personality, where Randy Orton, I've never, even to this day, I don't get the appeal of him in any sense. And I think Reigns, if he's allowed to kind of naturally and organically grow, I think he can be a top star. I just think right now he's, especially, granted, you know, he's been on the shelf for the last 2-3 months due to the hernia surgery that he had back in September. But I think, like, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose just have better characters and are more entertaining in that aspect, whereas Reigns is just, he's come back, and even I think his comeback has been kind of handled, I'm going to contradict myself with everything I've kind of said, where, you know, he had a match on Raw, I'm trying to think, it wasn't against Big Show, it was his first match back, was it Fandango?
I believe it was Fandango, yeah.
And, you know, Fandango, who is a guy that has kind of fallen by the wayside over the last year. And to me, Reigns' first match back should have just been a ass-kicking of Fandango. And I think Fandango got too much in on him. And you know, I'm being way too critical and overthinking everything right now. But if you're going to push Reigns, he should have just came back and made an instant statement with a quick victory, kind of like what they're doing in NXT with Baron Corbin and Bull Dempsey.
Mm-hmm.
These guys who just come in, get the job done within, you know, a minute, and that's, you kind of build that persona around him. And I think Roman just, there's just something missing with Roman Reigns right now. But because he's being groomed to be that top guy, he kind of needs those elements that he's missing to go along with that character.
Yeah. My pick for most overrated was the whole authority figure in wrestling, not just the authority with Triple H and Stephanie and the Stooges, or I guess they're not the Stooges. What are the, J&J or whatever they're calling them now?
J&J Security.
It's not just those guys. It's, you know, the whole, and I'll be honest here. I haven't watched a lot of TNA. I haven't watched a lot of anything else, but I know that, you know, they've thrown, you know, the Vicky Guerrero character was out there earlier this year in WWE. Santino now is doing things on SmackDown. It seems like the authority figure has just become a role that someone who's not active in the ring anymore, let's give them something to do because we don't have anything else creative to do. And then, you know, I'm really confused with this whole storyline now because I thought the anonymous general manager was back, but then, you know, Hogan was in there and Mick Foley was in there and Chris Jericho's been in there making matches. So I'm confused as to what really is going on. And I haven't, you know, the last month or two, I have not 100% been dedicated and devoted to paying attention. So perhaps I've missed something along the way. But to me, it just seems like back in the 80s when it was Jack Tunney and you saw him via, you know, satellite, maybe once in a blue moon, making some sort of declaration. He wasn't in the ring every week. He wasn't doing multiple segments. I just feel like wrestling was much better at that time. And I don't know. Go ahead.
I agree with you. I think the guest host, I just think the entire format of the wrestling show, as we see it on television, needs to be tossed out and reinvented. You know, they've been doing the same script now pretty much for the last 15, 16 years. And it's, you know, you get your opening promo, and the authority figure comes out, makes the matches for the night. As you know, the cynical wrestling fan who's always looking for logic and stuff, I'm always questioning, if no one comes out to cut a promo, what's going to happen during the rest of the show? Because if they're booking stuff on the fly, you know, if no one came out, then they're like, okay, well, you're just going to stare at Nicky Ring now for the next hour because we haven't put anything together. Yeah, it just, and like I said, it's so overdone and trite, and the fact that the authority is off television, but we still, every show opens with, why aren't the authority here? When are the authority going to come back? It's stale.
Yeah, I agree. And let's go from overrated to underrated. And you and I actually agreed on this one. And just a little caveat out there, Chad and I make our picks independently, and then he emails me his picks, and I've already got mine in place, and then he's got his in place. So we don't always agree, and in this case, we do, at least halfway through. I picked Chikara Pro, and I blame myself for this as well, because I have not been as active in pursuing what Chikara Pro is doing. I do follow them on Twitter and on Facebook, and I follow the wrestlers with Chikara Pro. So in that regard, I'm keeping up with it. But as far as storylines go and watching the actual product and supporting it in that way, I give myself two thumbs down because I have not been as active with it as I'd like to be.
Yeah, I think Chikara is probably out of the major wrestling promotions in America, Chikara is probably the least talked about. And I can understand, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier at the introduction of Chikara, it's not something that is for everybody, and I get it. And I think if you just look, if you knew nothing about Chikara and threw in the show and just took it as on the surface, there's some wackiness that you may not, you know, may come across as just very cheesy or very non-serious, I guess. But if you actually get into the show and look at the characters, like the wrestling is top-notch. I can't think of any wrestler on the roster that I couldn't see moving to another promotion and doing well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think most of the Chikara roster comes through the Chikara Wrestle Factory, which hands down, probably, I mean, I don't know a lot of different wrestling schools, but I think their track record speaks for itself. Like, anybody that makes it from the school onto the Wrestling Is promotions, which I believe Wrestling Is Fun is still the only one that's still around, and then up to the Chikara roster, like, they've got the talent and the skill to be there. It's not just, okay, come to our school and we'll give you a position. Like, you still, I think they still have to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, I don't know how many people have gone to a school that haven't made it. But it's also the storytelling is so, which from my perspective as a wrestling fan is what I really look into. And that's why I'm very critical of WWE, because to me, they can't tell a story for more than a month without contradicting themselves. But the Chikara storyline is so in-depth that stuff that is happening now has been set up 4 or 5 years prior or further, and there's still a consistency that even if a character changes alliances or tweaks his character, it's not a complete contradiction to everything that the character has been before. So I think just that level of detail in the promotion is astonishing. And unfortunately, the only way to follow Chikara is through DVD buying or MP4 buying through SmartMark Video. They don't have television. They do a weekly podcast on YouTube. Goes up every Monday, but it's just kind of like highlights of a show from, I think they're usually about 2 months behind. So it's not, you have to kind of be invested to follow the product, and I don't know how many people are willing to do that these days.
Right. And just for time's sake, Chad, you had a co-pick here, which was the WWE mid-roster, which I totally agree with. Go a little bit into that as well.
Okay, yeah, I think WWE is all about John Cena. And, given how much merchandise he sells, all the promotional stuff that he does, I can understand it, but it just seems like back in the 80s when you and I first started, and especially during the Attitude Era, which I don't want to give too much credit to Vince Russo because, God knows he gives himself enough credit as it is, but the mid-card, the lower guys, always seem to have something going on. And now it's just guys are thrown out there. For example, right now, Antonio Cesaro or Cesaro and Tyson Kidd have apparently become a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why that happened, when that happened. It's just, here's another tag team. Bo Dallas gets called up with this good gimmick that got over in NXT, and he's pushed for like a month, and then nothing. Fandango comes up. He's popular for a month or so, then, we don't see him. He falls down the card. It's like they can't establish a solid mid-card, and guys are just thrown out there. I think the biggest comment online is Kofi Kingston has been in the WWE now for, 6-7 years?
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about Kofi Kingston other than he can jump really high and not get eliminated easily in Royal Rumble?
Yeah, exactly.
He has there's no depth to his character. We'll see if a New Day can change that, but
yeah, I'm not holding my breath on that one either.
I think New Day will be fighting Los Matadors on Main Event in a month.
And that's unfortunate. And kind of in that same vein, the breakout star of the year for me, and you were right, Chad sent me his picks and said that I would probably pick Sami Zayn for this, and I did pick Sami Zayn. I'm a big fan of NXT, and just mostly because it's so different. Even though it's under that WWE umbrella, there is still that different vibe to it. It's fresh and it's new, probably because we haven't seen these guys before, and we're not being overexposed to them. They're on for an hour a week, and it's not the repetitiveness that we see with the typical WWE programming, whether it's SmackDown, Main Event, or Raw. The other thing about NXT in general is that feel, that small arena, at Full Sail University, that's got that indie arena format or feel to it, in my opinion at least. And, Sami Zayn, Kevin Steen or Kevin Owens, Adrian Neville, the Vaudevillains, all those guys, Tyler Breeze, they're making a name for themselves, and they're really, in my opinion, revolutionizing the WWE format, which I'm also kind of fearful of, that once they do make it up to the main roster, then are they going to be neutered, so to speak, and put into that WWE cookie cutter mold? But right now, I'm enjoying the ride with Sami Zayn, and I do think now as the NXT champion, he has a very bright future ahead of him.
I agree with you. And this breakout star, right?
Yes, breakout star.
Yeah. Okay. Just wait. Yeah, my pick is a guy who I knew nothing about until I went to the Chikara relaunch show back in May, and his name is Smooth Sailing Ashley Remington.
I thought it was a diva at first, so.
But you thought about a diva? No. He apparently used to wrestle in the Wrestling is Fun promotion as Dalton Cruz, I believe. If I got that right. And the storyline is Chikara had this wrestler, Darkness Crabtree, who's been around since the beginning of Chikara, who's this old guy. Look him up on YouTube. I can't really do justice to describing him. But apparently, time finally caught up to Darkness, and he passed away at the end of last year and left all of his money to his nephew, Dalton Cruz. And so now Dalton has reinvented himself as this yacht-sailing gentleman of leisure, Ashley Remington. And this is one of the things that, another thing I love about Chikara is the fans are so quick to embrace something new. And so at You Only Live Twice, I think that was the name of the rebirth of Chikara show, actually comes out. He's got this kind of just mellow, easy listening, smooth sailing music coming out, and the fans just start doing the sticking their hands up and waving them back and forth, and like, you know, the wave. It's just a smooth sailing, and he comes out with two women on each arm, and he's kind of cocky, but not overly cocky, gets in the ring, and the character is so well-defined. You know, we're discussing the WWE mid-card having no character. This is a guy who, from his first show, had the character nailed, like all the mannerism, when they would, you know, he'd be in the ring, and he would tie up in the corner, and the referee would, you know, start the five count to get him to break. The referee would go one, Dalton, or Ashley would break off, and was like, "I break on one, sir." And then shake hands with his opponent. Like, he just had this persona down, and then whenever he wins, he presents his opponent with a fruit basket as a token of his appreciation for their match. He is just such a great character that the fans have latched onto. And he, for the most part for this season, he wasn't involved with the main storyline going on with the destruction of Chikara, so he kind of had his time to kind of groom himself into a good character, and his match, I think it was from the shows in November, where he accidentally whipped out his finger guns and shot referee Bryce Rensburg, is probably one of the most hilarious things that I saw all year. And again, it's one of those things that, with Chikara, you just accept it and go with it. And because it plays into the rules of the universe that they have created, if, you know, somebody did that in WWE, you'd think, "Oh, that is so stupid."
Right.
It goes against everything they've said. But in the Chikara universe, it works. So, yeah, Ashley Remington.
Okay.
Smooth sailing, that's my pick.
Well, keep that vein going then, because your pick for show of the year, also a Chikara show, which if you've been listening for the last 28 minutes, you shouldn't be surprised that Chad's pick is a Chikara show. So talk about You Only Live Twice.
You Only Live Twice. That was, so Chikara shut down last June, like I said, and then this was their first show in 11 months, and they packed, I want to say, around 11 to 1,300 fans in the Easton Funplex in Easton, Pennsylvania, and it was just the atmosphere in that show, it was just so electric. Like, these are fans who had been clamoring for almost a year, wanting Chitara to return, and then finally came back, and they were not disappointed. And the show started off, prior to the show, they had a fan conclave where they had like a photo booth up where you get photos with the Chitara wrestlers. Ophidian was sitting playing the old Russell WWF board game against fans. They had a mini concert by Gavin Loudspeaker, a Q&A with Sidney Bacabella. It's kind of like WWE's fan access at WrestleMania on a more intimate level.
Mm-hmm.
But then the show started, and you had the storylines going on, Icarus winning the Grand Championship, and then the Flood, which was the group of Rudos from the last six seasons all banding together, and the reveal of Dukalin, who was kind of like a Bane-looking monster figure, who just kind of took the Chikara universe by shock and ended up killing Kobold, who Kevin had done an interview with him the weekend prior promoting the show, and now Kobold was dead, and to this day remains off the Chikara roster. And it was just a great launching show for the Chikara brand to come back. And I'm going to be a little snarky and critical here, but to compare it, I would say when TNA starts back up in January with their first show on Destination America, watch that show, and I'm going to guess you're going to get a lot of the same TNA-ism and a lot of stuff that doesn't really flow too well, but then go back and watch Young and the Twice to see how a great rebirth of the company can be.
Alrighty, my pick, and I will watch both of those shows. I do need to go back and watch You Only Live Twice. My pick, though, was NXT TakeOver Our Evolution, which just aired earlier this month on the WWE Network. I won't tell you that it's for just $9.99 a month, but anyway, I thought it was a great show from top to bottom. We got to see Kevin Owens. Who, of course, for fans who follow independent wrestling, is Kevin Steen. The match between champion Adrian Neville and Sami Zayn was amazing. I mentioned on one of our previous podcasts that I've met those two before and actually called a match between the two of them, or between Adrian Neville and Pac and El Generico, I should say. Charlotte, who we'll talk about in a few minutes as well, amazing work with Sasha Banks. And, of course, Finn Balor, who I am a fan of and didn't really know a whole lot about him before his NXT arrival, so to speak, but I'm a fan of his as well. And the Vaudevillains, who I think Chad will talk about again here in just a couple of minutes. But top to bottom, I thought it was a solid show. I also was a fan. Chad and I, who those of you who don't know, have for the past several years traveled to WrestleMania, and I thought WrestleMania 30 for the live events that we've seen, I thought it was the best that we've seen so far. It had a lot of quote unquote WrestleMania moments, which may be a contradictory of terms if you can have multiple moments, but I thought it did, between the streak ending, Daniel Bryan kind of reigning supreme. Cesaro's big win in that battle royal, picking up the Big Show and kind of dumping him over the top rope, which kind of, and I didn't mean to segue like this, but it does. Cesaro is my pick for Star on the Horizon. And, now that he's formed this tag team with Tyson Kidd, I'm not sure where they're going with it. Like Chad said earlier, this was kind of an unexpected and unannounced thing. I think they did that tag team gauntlet match several weeks ago on Raw, and these two just kind of happened to be together. I like them as a tag team, but again, I don't know that this is going to be something for the long haul. Cesaro, I think, has all the skills. Vince McMahon, Chad, did you listen to Vince McMahon on the Steve Austin podcast?
I did. I think I would like to see a follow-up where someone actually grills Vince about some of his answers.
Doesn't just lob softballs to him. Yeah, you know, yeah. Vince, you know, made some comments about Cesaro not being there, not having it yet. And, you know, how do you manufacture it? I don't think that you can. But I do think that despite that, and I know that when the boss kind of says that publicly, you probably don't have the brightest future. But I think that Cesaro definitely belongs in the, at least, at the very least, that hunt for the Intercontinental title or the United States Championship. I think another run with Dolph Ziggler for the IC title would be good. But Cesaro is my pick for Star on the Horizon. I still am optimistic and have hope for him in 2015.
Yeah. I will say real quick that the team name for Tyson Kidd and Cesaro is Masters of the WWE Universe. So if they could work some He-Man references into that team, I'd be in for it.
There we go.
My pick for Star on the Horizon is actually Stars on the Horizon, and that's the Vaudevillians. Going back to the WWE mid-card not having any characters, the difference is in NXT, they actually do have depth of character, and they have personality, and the Vaudevillians are this great throwback to like a 1930s pro wrestling wrestler. Their entrance video with going to the black and white and, you know, old-timey vid film is, I think, genius. And I think both of them have the skills needed to make it to the next level. Unfortunately, we're talking WWE here, so if they come up as a tag team, the modus operandi is usually push them for about 2 months as serious as the number one contenders, have about 20 matches for the title, and then push them off to Superstars and Main Event to feud with Los Matadors or The New Day or whoever is also currently floundering in the tag team division. But I think both those guys, hopefully, can, even if it's not as the Vaudevillians, as singles wrestlers in the future, can break out and be major players in the years to come.
I definitely like these two as a tag team, and it kind of does remind me a little bit of a character development that you would see in Chikara. I often think of our friend at My 1-2-3 Cents, Gentleman Jervis Cottonbelly, when I see the Vaudevillians. Of course, Cottonbelly, a good guy. Chad, help me here. What do they call the good guys in Chikara? I'm drawing a blank. Technicos. Yeah, so... But I do like this tag team, and I do think that they have a bright future ahead of them as well. This was another, the next category, Female of the Year. We don't say Diva of the Year here on my123cents.com, where you can read all of our picks and get into even more explanation of some of them. But we both picked Charlotte, and to me, she was the most consistent in 2014, and I do think that she could easily be Star on the Horizon and perhaps even Breakout Star of the Year. She, as Vince McMahon had alluded to with Cesaro, she does, in my opinion, have that it factor. And of course, genetically speaking, you know, she's the daughter of the Nature Boy Ric Flair, so never did I think that one of his daughters would be the one to kind of carry that Flair name, but she has certainly done her daddy proud, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. She is, very talented. She has a flair for the business, if you will. it's one of those things where finally the son or daughter, the children of a professional wrestler, actually has some of their parents' talent, which you don't see a lot too often.
Mm-hmm.
I probably just insulted several wrestlers that I'm not thinking of, but yeah, she's definitely no David Flair in regards to her in-ring ability.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she had her match on Raw a few weeks ago, right before the NXT Our Evolution show, to kind of promote that show, where she lost a 2 or 3 minute match to Natalya, which didn't make any sense because Charlotte is the NXT Women's Champion. Like, if you're going to give her a showcase, one, she should have won to put interest into her match on the NXT show, and let her showcase what, you know, she's capable of. And I had read that Triple H said that they didn't have enough time for the match to be longer. They did, you know, because 3 hours of a show where you have to have a 20-minute opening promo talking about the Authority is more important than actually highlighting a wrestler. But, yeah, I mean, you go back and look at all of Charlotte's matches from NXT. She is, I think, easily, if you build the roster on her, Paige, Emma, Sasha Banks, basically all the NXT divas.
Right.
You've got a solid foundation that can compete with the guys as far as talent goes. And you don't have to do, you know, soap opera angles of cattiness and jealousy. And it's just let them go out and, you know, want to be the best.
I totally agree.
And it sounds like a no-brainer, but apparently, you know, we don't know what we're talking about.
This next category, best use of social media. Chad, I don't think you ended up with a pick for this one. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, we have the Mind123 since Twitter feed where we follow a lot of people on Twitter, but I don't really read it that often. Mm-hmm. And then with Facebook, Instagram, Vine, Tout, if that's still around, I don't really follow social media that much, so I can't. But no one had a breakout year like Chuck Taylor had last year.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I had nobody.
I picked, and this is, if you are offended easily, I would not follow this guy, but at the Iron Sheik, it's at the _ Iron Sheik, just for the fact that he is so funny with the comments that he makes and some of the celebrities he insults. I mean, again, it's definitely not kid-friendly and inappropriate if you are offended easily, because he does use the F-bomb in every tweet pretty much. So, but I find it somewhat funny, and congratulations to at the Iron Sheik. And if I am able to get a hold of him, as tradition stands with our social media winner, we send a My123Cents t-shirt too. So Chuck Taylor, I'm sure, still wears his all the time, but maybe not. Who knows? The biggest fall from grace, I'm going to do mine first, because, Chad, I thought yours was a very interesting pick, and it got my brain thinking, so I want to comment more on yours than mine. But my pick was The Undertaker. And I get that the last couple of years he has not really done more than just the WrestleMania match. I think he did a SmackDown after WrestleMania in 2013 when he and Daniel Bryan and Kane teamed up against The Shield. But beyond that, The Undertaker has been a one-card-a-year kind of guy. But this past year, really, you know, losing to Brock Lesnar, and I know that he's apparently had some health issues, some folks thinking he's not even going to be at WrestleMania 31. And then I saw a picture of him recently, and I understand that we all are getting older and whatnot, but in this picture that I saw, and I'm sure that many of you have seen it as well, he looked like a shell of his former self. And I you know, like I said, I get that we all get older and whatnot, but that mystique and that power that The Undertaker once had, to me, with that one picture, really kind of changed my outlook and my view of him. I still think that he will be at WrestleMania 31 in some form or fashion. It'll be interesting to see what they do between now and then to get him back on the card, if that is the intended plan. So my pick, biggest fall from grace, is The Undertaker, and really to no fault of his own.
Yeah, and I mean, to go off yours real quick, I think for me, because The Undertaker had become a one-match performer over the last few years, and all of his matches at WrestleMania have kind of followed the same format for the last, you know, 5-6 years probably. His match against Brock Lesnar, since Lesnar was, you know, as a part-time performer, I guess more part-time than Undertaker, but still not someone that I figure the company is going to build around long-term. You know, I remember being at WrestleMania and wasn't even paying attention to the Undertaker's match, because it's like, oh, Taker's going to win. Same thing that's happened the last 4 or 5 years. And I was actually, I think, sending out a tweet when the bell rang and they announced Lesnar as the winner, and I just looked at you and like, what just happened?
Yeah.
And it's there was no build up in suspense of Lesnar actually being able to beat Undertaker. And I think that had been hampered by the way the Undertaker had been presented the previous years. And I think, you know, with the streak over, really, what does the Undertaker have left to prove or left to do? Unless he's going to pass the torch to, you know, the younger generation, which means don't fight Sting at WrestleMania.
Agreed.
I agree with you, and then just, you know, for sake, if Undertaker doesn't show up for WrestleMania, I'm totally fine with that. But my pick for Fall from Grace is kind of meta. It's my 1-2-3 cents. Over the last year, I know my productivity on the blog has fallen by the wayside, and I don't know if that's just due to, I can't say I've been too busy, because I think I've been unemployed more than employed due to the nature of the business that I work in this year. So I've had plenty of free time on my hands I should do to write and blog, but I think it's just the wrestling promotions, like we said, haven't been that interesting, and it gets kind of old just writing the same things over and over. You know, why can't WWE tell a good storyline? Why does TNA have to be TNA? Why doesn't Chikara get more approval? It's just, we're writing this after, how long have we had the blog? 3-4 years?
It's been 4 years, yeah.
4 years. So we've kind of hit the same arguments over and over enough times to where we're like, okay, we're just, the horse is, I mean, we've beaten the dead horse, buried it, dug it back up, tried to relive it and beat it again.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I know, you know, I started writing more about hockey as I've gotten into becoming a hockey fan over the last season. But there really hasn't been a lot that I've really felt the need to sit down and write about. And so I know I've probably written 10 blogs at most this year, and just our use of social media, other than my snarky tweets during Brawl when I'm bored and watching live, which hopefully some people find funny, but a lot of people probably just find annoying. Yeah, I just have not developed the time or devoted the time to the blog that I should have this year. So my pick for Fall from Grace is my 1-2-3 cents.
And when I read that, because like I said, Chad sends me his picks, I was offended by it. Because this is my baby, this is my pet project that I started back in 2010.
Well, let me just...
Oh, no, yeah, go ahead.
I'm talking strictly from my past, because I know you've kept the blogs up, you've done the YouTube, so I wasn't trying to insult you.
Right, right.
It was more from my perspective, yeah.
Right, and I understand that. And I went back and I looked, and Chad's right. As far as content goes, my123cents.com, this actually... we started in late September of, I'm sorry, in late 2010, in September of 2010, so I don't really count 2010 in that. But in 11, 12, 13, and now 14, 14 has been the lowest year in terms of content put out, but by the same vein, it's been the year of the highest readership. So we're putting out less, but getting more readers, which is a good thing, but obviously, too, we want to get that content out there. And I did change and kind of tweak the formula with my 1-2-3 cents. And a lot of people wanted to hear more personal stories about my, you know, my day job, if you will, as a journalist. And so sometimes I write about things that happen at work, or I write about things that I've done, you know, with my family, or things that I, you know, happened to me in high school, funny stories like that, that people just kind of get some joy in laughing at my downfalls. So I did tweak it, and it's still, you know, at the heart of it, and the heart of this podcast, this will always be a wrestling podcast. So it gives us that outlet. But also, you know, my123cents.com, I do intend to write more about wrestling in 2015. And as I mentioned earlier, I plan to watch and incorporate more than just WWE and that form of sports entertainment into the posts that I make. So, Chad, why don't you, we're almost an hour into this now, why don't you go ahead and give us your final thoughts on 2014 and a look ahead to next year?
2014 was, it was a year, but it was a year that I'm hoping was a low point in 2015 will rebound nicely in the wrestling world. Hopefully, you know, Chikara is coming back in January for season 15. A lot of unanswered questions from their final show, Tomorrow Never Dies. I'm curious to see where they're going, what the, you know, they're kind of getting darker and edgier, as Mike Quackenbush said in a recent interview, Mike Quackenbush being the founder and leader of Chikara and their director of fun and storyline purposes. You know, it's just a natural continuation of the story that's being told. They just kind of go with how the story flows and what makes sense. So it's curious to see what goes with them. TNA is leaving Spike for another network that I believe has less viewership, but right now seems to be more interested in promoting them. And hopefully TNA can stop being TNA and actually start being the company that they should have been over the last decade, and utilizing the talent that they have and the resources and finding their own identity instead of just being WWE light. Ring of Honor has their anniversary show coming up in Las Vegas in March, I believe. I don't really pay that much attention to Ring of Honor. The product isn't my taste, but hopefully they can keep their momentum going and get more publicity. And then WWE, as I said, all the talent is there. They have probably, I would argue, the best talent roster that they've ever had, if you factor in the NXT roster, and hopefully they can realize that they need to change and shake things up a bit. And hopefully they do that. And we'll see what happens. And on the other side, or outside of wrestling, as far as my 1-2-3 sense goes, hopefully once the Pittsburgh Penguins get over everybody having a case of the mumps, they will start winning again. And you'll see more hockey blogs, hopefully going to hit up the LA Kings San Jose Sharks outdoor game, which is taking place at Levi Stadium, the home of WrestleMania 31. So I'd like to get in there and see that stadium before the show. And then this year, you know, right now we don't have plans to be at WrestleMania. This will be the first one in 8 years that we haven't attended. So we'll see how that goes. What if I could actually sit at home and watch the show?
It'll be interesting for sure. Folks, Chad echoes my sentiments as well. I want to thank everyone for listening, downloading, sharing this podcast, watching My 1-2-3 Cents on YouTube, reading my123cents.com on our blog. Your support has been great over the last 4+ years, and we hope that we continue to develop a relationship with you, the listener, the reader, the watcher, and sharing this podcast on iTunes. Don't forget to comment, rate. If you hate us, tell us that too, and let us know how we can make this something enjoyable for all of us. So, for Chad Smart, I am Kevin Huntsberger. Thanks so much for listening to My 1-2-3 Cents.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.
Hey, Toby.
Hey, Greg.
So we've been doing this podcast network thing for a long time.
Yeah, it seems like it.
And we're finally starting now to get a little traction under us.
Yeah, a lot of people are jumping on board to have some shows.
Big shout out to some of our shows here. My 1-2-3 Cents, a wrestling podcast based off of a blog site by the same name. Kevin Huntsberger is running that one. And you and Craig are back with a sports podcast off of another blog that you started years back.
Yeah, Seat Above the Stands. And if you're into anything local, high school related sports, we do that. National related stuff, we do that. And arguing. We really do that. So yeah, tune in.
Matt Horst has a gamer, and he's been you know, updating that as his time allows. And he and his wife, Sierra and Zach, also have Popped Culture, and where they talk about books, and they talk about movies and action figures and all kinds of good stuff.
Absolutely. A lot of different areas covered. We can always have more, though.
And Nerd United.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I've been so grateful for everybody who's decided to join me on episodes of that show, and we're looking to keep going strong, and we're going to have a busy 2015. We hope that everybody tunes in and takes the Jittery Monkey podcast along for the ride on iTunes, on Stitcher. You just gotta do a little search.
And it's simple. You subscribe to the network and you get every show, so you can listen to the ones you want and don't have to listen to the ones you're not interested in. And be sure to rate them. please, because when you rate them and leave a comment, it really does help. So do that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, make sure you hit that subscribe button and leave your feedback. Make sure that you follow Jittery Monkey Podcast on Facebook, as well as Jittery Monkey on Twitter. Now, that's monkey with a U, because the other Jittery Monkey was taken and the other guy didn't want to free it up.
Nah.
So, yeah, but we're busy, we're active, and we appreciate everybody who's joined us along this far.